This is Evan Murray with Music Industry Insights. You can reach me at evan@musicindustryins.net. That's evan@musicindustryins.net. Write me an email. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know if you have any questions or comments. If you have any requests or, you know, you'd like to do some consulting or talk about your music career, I'm all into it. I'm all ears, as they say. This podcast you're listening to right now is a podcast with Andy Jones from the country of Wales. Andy is the conference coordinator, conference showcase festival coordinator of his showcase called Focus Wales. Focus Wales is attracting a lot of attention around the world. And this is really interesting because Wales is a small country. So you'd say, like, why do so many people want to go to Focus Wales? Because it really seems like Andy's got a really good thing going on there. And I think there's a couple reasons. You know, Wales is in good proximity to the rest of Europe, obviously. It's part of the UK. It's part of the United Kingdom. So it's next door neighbors to, you know, Ireland and England. And that's not very far from France or Germany or everywhere else for that matter. Also, it looks like Andy has a great network of, you know, international delegates from the highest levels to the independent levels. I've never been invited to Focus Wales, so maybe that's because I'm kind of still new to this, or because, you know, Andy's also the guy handling export for Wales itself. So maybe Sweden or the east coast of Newfoundland isn't as attractive. I don't know. But I hope to get myself to Focus Wales someday and check it out, because all I see is that it is a major, awesome event. Lots of people from all over my network are super excited about Andy's work. And I was just really happy to sit and talk with him for a while. Andy talks about his career. Andy talks about Wales. Andy talks about the history of Wales. Andy talks about the history of his showcase festival conference and where it's headed. So this was during, obviously, the, you know, during the pandemic, and he touches on the pandemic a little bit. But this is full blown, uncut. It's great stuff. Andy knows what he's doing, and I'm glad to have him as a colleague in my network. So take what you can out of this. Extract what you can out of this. These are conference coordinators having a conversation about Wales and some things about development as well. So most of all, enjoy it.
So Andy, please, nice to see you, and please introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Evan. Yeah, so Andy Jones here. I'm one of the co-founders and the music programmer for Showcase Festival in the UK. Called Focus Wales. And I guess the whole point of this is for me to introduce what we're about, give people an idea of where Wales is and why we do what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Andy. So, like, you know, Wales is interesting for us as Canadians because of the proximity and also the kind of Eastern Canadian culture as well. So, you know, thanks again for joining us. And I'm going to shoot you some questions here, you know, a little bit about the culture and history and also about the music industry itself. Can you tell me where Wales is, like, you know, geographically speaking, and also like what the population is and any kind of like tidbits about the history, if you could?
Yeah, great. Okay. So Wales is a country as part of the UK. So, you know, we're one of the nations of the UK alongside England and Scotland and Northern Ireland. Wales is just to the west of England. And we're a population of, I believe it's now something like 3.3 million people that are here. I mean, I'm sure someone will quote me on that. It might be a little less or a little more, but it's circa 3.3 million people living here. We're a bilingual nation, you know, we're really old nation and culture. Our language goes back a long, long way. And, you know, it's something we're really proud of. That's something that comes through everything that we're about promoting, really, with Focus Wales. You know, we're a bilingual showcase festival. We're celebrating languages, not only our languages that we have here, but artists from around the world that are singing in different languages. So that's definitely something that's important to us.
Okay, that's really interesting to touch on the languages part, especially, you know, identifying that Wales has its own language and also that you guys are also interested in other countries' languages. It's quite significant, actually. I mean, being from Canada, a bilingual country as well, but, you know, we'll touch on this going forward. Tell me about your festival, like your actual festival, and tell me about the work you're doing in particular in Wales.
Yeah, so we began Focus Wales. The first edition was 2011, although, you know, leading up to that first edition was, you know, a good few years of R&D, just trying to establish what was required. And, you know, it was born from a desire to just help firm up the infrastructure here, create a networking opportunity, an annual networking opportunity, some way of helping to bring industry and artists from this country together. You know, my background is as a musician and a promoter. And the other co-founder, a very good friend of mine, Neil Thompson, you know, we both grew up together, literally known each other since we were like 11 years of age, and went right through school and shared similar journey, really, in terms of entering the music industry and, you know, setting out as young promoters and musicians. So we did a lot of work together as young adults. And, you know, we got to around 2009, 2010, and we started discussing how Wales really needed this type of industry engagement opportunity. So, you know, we moaned at each other for maybe a good year or so about the lack of the existence of such a thing. You know, when is someone going to do this? Why doesn't it exist? You know, just doing a lot of complaining to the point where we realized we could keep complaining or we could just make this happen. We could at least roll the dice, see how it goes year one. And that's what we did. You know, we gave it a go. It was a pure labor of love. We had no financial assistance. We just, you know, had the backing of the community, people in the town where the event is based, a place called Wrexham in the north of Wales. You know, they were really behind the festival and showed it a lot of support. And it's from that sort of, you know, that those small beginnings where we had one main venue and a little acoustic stage in a pub, you know, just a couple of panels, you know, maybe a couple of dozen industry guests, to year on year growing it, gaining the support and backing of, you know, cultural bodies, be it the creative sector within the Welsh government or the Arts Council or various other supporters of the arts within the UK, have got behind it and allowed us to grow and develop what we do. To the point where, you know, our most recent edition that we were able to deliver in 2019 was attended by circa 15,000 people. We showcased over 250 artists from around the world at that event across 20 stages over 3 days. We had, I think it was just over 400 delegates attend that edition, officially at least. You know, there's always a lot of industry that get in on the cheaper passes. But yeah, it's definitely grown, it's blossomed, it's become a sort of an event on the radar of those working in the industry. And it's got to that point because we've always stayed true to our mission, really. It's about showcasing Welsh talent to the music industry from around the world, but also about sort of promoting that Wales is an internationally thinking nation, that we want to welcome artists from all around the world. And I think, you know, that has led to lots of relationships with festivals on every continent that has really helped grow awareness of what we're about and, you know, get the buy-in of the music industry and certainly the music community at home. So it's, yeah, it's grown and grown. And forgive me if I'm rambling. Hopefully that's a pretty good summary of, you know, where we come from, why we're doing what we're doing, and pretty much where we're up to right now.
No, yeah, I mean, the information is kind of imperative. It's a good story. It sounds like it was a real grassroots kind of movement that turned into a something that the government recognized as something valuable for culture and, you know, I'm sure like trade and tourism and innovation and, you know, these other aspects. So, I mean, it's no small feat, that's for sure. You know, starting in a small pub in the north and then growing it into something that you have. How many years have you guys been going now? Like, how many years have you, since the beginning?
Yeah, well, I mean, our 2020 edition, which had to be postponed to later on this year, which is our hope that we can deliver the festival this year. But that will be our 10th annual edition. So, yeah, we've been going a good while now. And yeah, you know, it's sure been like a solid achievement so far. But I think it's all a matter of just getting the thing going. You know, if anybody is contemplating creating something for their music community, you just have to give it a go. And I think if you go about things and stay true to your sort of mission statement and don't deviate too much from the point of why you want to do it in the first place, people do get on board. People will help you. We're forever learning. There's always a long list of things that we think we must be better at this, and this every year. So there's never any sort of, you know, resting on our laurels. There's always, I think if you're really honest with yourself, there's always a list of things that, right, okay, let's try and improve this next time. And I think having that attitude, you know, plays a big part, I think, in being able to continually evolve.
And you guys are working as like, you're not just the conference, but you're also, are you working also as the export office for Wales too? Is that correct?
Yeah, well, that's something that has really blossomed over maybe the last 6 years. And it came about because, you know, alongside the journey of developing the festival, both Neil and I, the co-founders of the festival, were also in bands who were gaining experience internationally in our own right, just on a sort of separate mission to release records and be artists. And, you know, through those experiences, we got to develop relationships as artists, and in some cases, self-managing artists. So, you know, so we got to develop relationships with international artists, bands, festivals, conferences, which has helped Focus Wales really, you know, in our own mission, because, you know, we've seen how there are festivals we've engaged with, particularly in Canada, who have also had export strategies in what they do, you know, whether it's the guys at M4 Montreal hosting showcases around the world, or the guys at Breakout West doing similar things. And, you know, that's really inspired us, because we were trying to sort of put a little bit more of a bit more weight behind the international activities we were doing as Welsh artists. And we realized, actually, you know, we as artists would benefit from having some assistance in this whole process. And, you know, like another light bulb moment, really, that, oh, well, loads of other artists from Wales will be in exactly the same boat, where, you know, they could probably do with, you know, just a little bit of support, not handholding the whole way, but just like maybe someone to crack open the door so that they can access different markets around the world. You know, was the initial thought. But then it's like, oh, well, let's go one step further. We now have this Focus Wales conference, which has developed, and we have a way that we can maybe put some reciprocal deals in place. Whereas, you know, we could look at, oh, well, we'll host a couple of bands from Korea, from Zandari Fest or our festival, and maybe we'll bring some artists over to you. And, you know, we could look at these types of reciprocal arrangements. You know, obviously it's bespoke to each festival partnership, because different international festivals will want to do different things in terms of the number of artists they want to bring to us, the types of artists they want to bring to us, so the types of shows and venues they need. But yeah, so we set out on that road, and it's really developed over the last few years to the point where we're now, you know, we host the showcase of artists from Wales at South by Southwest each year. We also have hosted showcases at the likes of M4 Montreal, Pop Montreal, Breakout West, Luckfest in Taiwan, Zandari Festa, and lots of others. You know, it just keeps that keeps growing. I mean, from our side, it's about having a look at what the opportunities are, what the needs are for our artists. And, you know, we might have an artist that comes to us and say, look, we've got a lot of traction for whatever reason in you know, in certain Eastern European markets, can you help us access, you know, industry in this part of the world? And we can go, well, actually, we have a good relationship with the guys at Tallinn Music Week. So let's see if we can put something in place and get you in front of a lot of bookers there. So, you know, we have some solid flags in the ground, be it like taking artists swast in for South By, the partnership with Breakout West, passionate about our partnerships with Asia. But otherwise, we're pretty flexible to be able to look at the opportunities each year and go, right, we have this artist now and there's this solid interest in this place. So let's try and open that door for them and take them there. So we're a small export office, but yeah, we're doing as much as we can to help the community.
And like as a, like working like inside of a conference and working like as an export office and having like, you know, different relationships around the world, I mean, you're kind of getting like an eagle eye view of how, you know, I guess when certain trends are being set or how certain things are working, you know, trying to identify these things. And what I'm wondering is, as a person working as a professional in the music industry, what are some of the major challenges that you're seeing? Like for you personally, now, not just so much from Wales, I mean, you can incorporate that, of course, but just in general, like what are some of the major challenges we're facing in the music industry besides, you know, COVID, right? But like, you know, in general.
Well, I mean, I think the fact that we all want to protect the planet is a really important topic that can often be sort of brushed over. So we all want to help our artists access markets around the world, and we all want to engage internationally. You know, Wales wants to let the world know that we're here, and same will go for a lot of other small nations around the world, where they'll want to make sure they've got their own sort of elbow space within the global industry, and that their artists, you know, can have their own space and opportunity to shine in amongst all of, you know, the noise of the industry. But, you know, we have to also be mindful about putting people onto airplanes. So how do we continue this development of the industry and of our smaller music nations, whilst also protecting the planet and being mindful of, you know, just our footprint just generally. So, I mean, that's something as an export office that I'm very mindful of going forward. And I do think that over the last year, it's been interesting to see what is possible digitally. And I don't think, you know, showcasing digitally is going to completely eradicate the need to, you know, to take artists to markets and showcase them in front of the actual buyers. I think that's still going to be there, but how can we make that process more efficient? And I think, you know, the sort of journey we've been through in terms of continuing our, you know, our market development for artists digitally over the last year because of the pandemic, I think there's a lot of that work we will take forward with us, because we can see how it can have an impact in terms of making sure that our artists are more ready to make the most of the opportunity when they get to that new continent, wherever it is that they're going to. And, you know, I genuinely think it'll deliver results. I mean, we're already seeing it deliver results. And that's without actually taking the artists to the events physically. So I think, you know, we're going to see some sort of hybrid version of the exporting model going forward. That hopefully, as I say, it'll mean that we're not being wasteful with those flights. You know, it's like, you know, people are going to go there, they're going to be high impact opportunities where they come back with a deal. It might seem wishful thinking and a bit Disney that we're just going to be able to make those things happen like that, but you know, it seems crazy we weren't doing the things that we've been doing over the last year previously. You know,
That is, the more that I've kind of been living online, the more I've kind of had the same kind of thoughts where I'm like, how come this didn't exist as, you know, alongside this? Like, why is like this Zoom thing like now like a part of our like music culture when it's always, you know, it's kind of this, the ability to do this has been there for years, you know? I mean, But, you know, and that comes me, that brings me to a, like another question that I have for you is like, can you give me an idea, like, how are you choosing the countries you want to work with? Like, so let me formulate this question a little bit better. What countries are you interested in? Like, maybe let's talk about, you know, three to five countries. And why are you interested in them? Like, what is, and are you seeing like a physical world for some and a digital world for some? Like, is there two realities that you're looking at, or are you still trying to mainframe it in like physical and digital? And, you know, let's go towards this country. Like, can you talk to me a bit about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no two ways about it. We're working with modest budgets to deliver the work that we do. Mm. And we're, you know, we're very grateful for the support that we do have. But it just, you know, the financial model really is that, you know, UK government, basically, they, you know, they set the broader budget. And then the sort of distribution of that is devolved somewhat to Wales. But ultimately, you know, if what's in the arts pot isn't huge from Westminster, you know, that impacts what will drip down to projects like ours wanting to export artists. So not having a huge budget to work with in the first place naturally influences things, because then we have to take a look at it and go, right, we only have so much to work with over the next year in terms of supporting with flights and hotels and, you know, scenarios where we need to hire backline in and these types of things, you know, promotional materials and all of that. And, you know, that all does add up very quickly. So, like, from our side, we can't do everything. So we have to assess, well, what is going to be the highest impact opportunities? So we're balancing that with, you know, there is obviously a conversation that goes on with government in terms of what our priority international partnerships. So, you know, like Wales and Canada are looking to do more trade generally, and you know, whether it's cultural exchange, you know, it's really important. And, you know, and that's the thing, I think as an export office, you suddenly become part of conversations where people are talking in those terms, where, you know, the government are saying to you, well, we're really keen to see what relationships we can develop in this particular country. You know, for reasons, you know, way above my pay grade. And then they're like, oh, you know, so we'd be really interested if, you know, if there was a partnership that could be developed in this place. So I'm balancing those things with, but actually this event in this country is, you know, really well curated conference event. They bring in a fantastic set of delegates every year. This would be a high impact opportunity in this part of the world. I mean, that's the main thing that drives me. You know, I'm looking at key events, whether it's taking artists to Zandri Festa, because I know there's going to be a long list of brilliant bookers and industry that are coming from various continents that I won't see at some European events, and I won't see at some North American events. I'll only see them at Zandri Festa in Seoul. So I know that's a really interesting opportunity for artists that have, you know, where we feel and where the bookers feel the artist could gain some genuine traction in that country. So there's a conversation, but then there's also, you know, we're also feeding things in like where there is already industry traction. I mean, if we take North America, for example, certainly part of the whole equation for us is what interest is there in the US for an artist? You know, if we're taking an artist South by Southwest, it's like, well, are you speaking to labels? Are you speaking to promoters, agents? And, you know, I think, you know, we have the makeup of the Welsh industry is naturally different to like what's going on in England, where you have these big industry hubs in cities like, you know, beyond London alone, you know, Manchester and Birmingham and Liverpool, there are, you know, lots of labels and music managers and people working on the live side, all concentrated in almost like micro industries in those cities. Wales is more fragmented. You know, it's like the makeup and the geography of Wales means that we have a lot of isolated artists who become self-releasing artists and in many scenarios to quite like a successful level, they're, you know, functioning as DIY artists and you know, selling their music globally. So like we have to take a sort of a view through that filter and that understanding that, you know, they're not going to have all the bits and pieces in place that you would ideally want before they go to South by Southwest. So they're not necessarily going to have a manager and a label and a booking agent behind them. But they might have one or two of those things, and they're still self-managing, or they're still self-releasing, but they're doing it well because they've had to do it well because they don't have any other options around them. But we're looking at those things, you know, it's like you're picking up radio play. Have you had any sort of, you know, have any blogs in the States got behind you? Because what we don't want to do is airlift artists over to Austin and there'd be no talk on the streets beyond what we can sort of generate. Cause you know, as a festival, we can do a lot. I think because of our profile and the relationships that we have, you know, we can certainly do a lot, but we really do in those highly competitive environments need the artists to also have their own buzz, just naturally generating. So there's those things. I mean, it's obviously more difficult when we start to look at Asia where, you know, a lot of the social media platforms that might be being used. I mean, if you look at China alone, you know, the kids are using social media platforms generally that our artists won't be thinking about in Wales just yet. You know, they're plowing absolutely everything into Facebook and Twitter and, you know, and then suddenly you go to a new market where it's like, oh no, but we're all on this over here. So it's very difficult then to evidence, well, you know, whereas with Spotify, you can say, well, we can see genuinely like this artist has got a lot of listeners in Eastern Europe and, you know, and therefore Tallinn Music Week might be a good shout, or, you know, in Northern Europe, there's lots of interest and, you know, let's take the artist to Eurosonic. We can see that there's genuinely an appetite for this artist across Europe, and we can do similar things in North America, but it's a little more challenging to do that in Asia. But yeah, it's always a conversation, I think, with the promoters when you get to that point. But before that, for me, it's like, yeah, I'm looking at the most, you know, the better curated conferences, really, where, you know, you get a lot of conferences where it's like, oh, we've paid for all the dinosaurs to come in, you know, the people who are working in the industry in the 80s and 90s, who, you know, somewhat the stars of the industry who worked with so-and-so and so-and-so, but they're kind of useless to the artists that we want to export.
Yeah.
You know, so like I'm really looking at those exciting conferences that get that, and they're putting the hungry booking agents and promoters and labels in the space who are, you know, still have that spark and passion for music. And I know, for example, with a couple of those events that I've mentioned, certainly if you look at Zandri Festa, you look at Tallinn Music Week, I feel the same way about Lockfest, really. It's like, they're so passionate. The people behind it are so passionate about music that they're inviting people who are equally passionate about music to their event. And when you put those types of delegates all in the same space, then suddenly, you know, that sort of energy builds and they're all recommending, you know, it's like the booker who might be like, oh, this isn't right for me, but I get a feeling like, you know, my buddy Dan Koplowitz, the sync guy, might be really into what you're doing and, you know, might be able to find something for you. And you get that type of thing happening. And, you know, I'd like to think we have the R Festival. I mean, we're certainly getting the results now, but we've always had that at the heart of what we're about, really, that we don't want to, again, working with modest budgets, we want to make sure that every delegate that comes to our event, you know, it's plausible that they're going to sign someone, book them, want to work with them in some way. And, you know, we want to be confident that they're really passionate about music still, you know, that spark hasn't fizzled out. So yeah, I'm looking at those types of events. We're looking at key areas of the world, naturally. You know, as I mentioned, we've got partnerships in place with the likes of Enfer Montreal, with Breakout West in Canada, which I think is a really well put together conference. I've got to say, I've been a number of times to that one. Really helpful, you know, useful conference that they put together, really good talks, always a really good gathering of delegates. The artists we've always taken to Breakout West have always got results, always ended up working with people as a consequence. Same is true of Lockfest in Taiwan. Same is true of Zandri. Same is true of Tallinn Music Week. And there are others. I mean, Eurosonic is another, you know, it's kind of an obvious one because it's such a successful, long-standing showcase festival for European artists. But again, another example of a conference where that we've identified, you know, we can have complete confidence that they're going to have all the major players are going to be there. So we have a really good opportunity to sort of throw a net over a bunch of delegates and say, come and see the Welsh bands in this venue right now. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we're looking at all of those things, but it's forever changing, man. I mean, we do have the ability to react and go, you know what, this really cool new thing has just popped up. I'm going to go on a plane and do a recce and scout this out and see if it's an opportunity for artists a little bit further down the line. Yeah, so it's part of that. Sorry, it's a really long-winded answer because there's no simple answer. I think I've got to learn through being a guest speaker as a result of doing Focus Wales. I've then got to travel to a lot of these events, and I've been able to get a good feel for which are the good ones, which are the not so good ones. So I guess it's coming from that place.
It's interesting because I mean, there is a flavoring, let's say, like when you go into certain events, like there's, you know, there's a certain feeling you get around certain areas, certain people, you know. I mean, one of the things was like a lot of the conferences I was going to, they had these like guys called the usual suspects. And I was like, like, why do you even have different conferences when it's the same people like at every single conference? And I can't agree with you more that, you know, like going to conferences where there's people there that actually want to do work instead of talking about the work they've done. I mean, obviously there's two huge differences there, you know. Some conferences will bring in like these like world renowned agencies, but like not one artist at the conference has any hope in hell, you know, to kind of land anything with them. Or, you know, it's almost like a show and tell instead of anything, you know, important for business.
I think the difference is mainly, the thing I see, it's when it's really government led, when it's really a public sector thing, you tend to see a lot of that where they're just like, oh, we're going to spend the budget on bringing in names from the industry that they're aware of. But then you're right. It's that thing. If there's no credible potential of them being able to work with anybody, because, you know, now they're just like a president of an organization and they're not actually signing artists, they're not actually working with artists anymore, then it's completely futile. So yeah, it's definitely about identifying those opportunities. And, you know, I think there's a lot of options. There are a lot of showcase festivals out there, but I think from an exporter's side, it's just a matter of doing your research. And, you know, as I say, I have that benefit of being able to go as a speaker quite often and sort of scout out and see if this is a good opportunity or not for our music community to be exporting to. But yeah, it's one of them. I mean, I love traveling. So personally, I would go to all of them. And you know, I'd love to go and sample the culture in all these places. But yeah, at the same time, it's like you can't go to all of them and you've got to get a life work balance as well. Right. But like, yeah, I think it's simple, you know, a short time just doing the research and you can get a feel for which ones are just doing that. And they're just inviting those, as I say, those, I don't want to be ageist as well, saying those 80s dinosaurs, but there is that thing of, you know, just someone who's connected to some success in the 80s that, or the 90s or even the noughties that aren't really doing anything now. And
I think that's an important thing to talk about because the industry has, like, it has folded on itself a few times. Like, you know, artists from the 80s didn't, you know, a lot of big artists from the 80s didn't do so well in the 90s. There was a whole new crop. But I mean, now we're sitting in like 2021. I mean, like, the world is completely different. You know, I mean, I can really see this in Canadian standards, for instance. Like, when I look at YouTube, like, I'm a big supporter of YouTube and bands using YouTube more so than other digital platforms, because I have had the opportunity to work with some artists who have major followings on YouTube, and I understand how beneficial it can be. And when I look at bands, say in the 90s and the 2000s, Canadian artists, like I can just see like their their followings are just so minute, you know, like they're just tiny, tiny little followings. And that's because like the, you know, the past is gone, you know what I mean? And I think the thing is we have to like kind of understand that as well. Like, I mean, when we're even musicians going into these conferences, like it's not about, you know, yeah, it's cool to meet rock stars. And yeah, it's cool to meet someone that did something with rock stars or something, but unless there's some like, you know, with something you can communicate or, you know, like you're not going to autograph sessions, you're going to do business, right? So it's like a, you know,
yeah, I mean, I guess these things are, they're part education, but mainly it's about like, you know, your outputs. It's about getting, you know, I mean, certainly from a selfish perspective from Wales, you know, we want to see more sustainable careers in the music industry.
Right.
For artists and industry in Wales. So like, we want to see deals being done on the ground. And certainly, you know, we have to report back and any sort of pennies and pounds spent on supporting artists and industry from Wales to go to any of these events. We do want to see results. I mean, it applies a bit of pressure to the situation, but like, you know, we do want to see results. So we're very mindful of, you know, making sure that, as I say, we're not airlifting them into situations they're not ready for, but equally, we're not airlifting these artists into situations where it's like, it's an uphill struggle because it's just full of those guest speakers who aren't able to do anything.
Well, and you mentioned something before too, that I think is valuable to talk about. And that's like, you know, going into some territories is that their whole systematic way of doing things is a bit different. So like what I noticed being in Eastern Europe is that one of the major ways to kind of break that marketplace is actually playing like these big festivals, you know, like you can actually gather a lot of people if you're in front of a lot of people. Let's say I found that Eastern European people were much more engaged still with like, you know, going to a live show and following the artists that they, you know, really enjoyed. And then in Asia, like in, you know, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, you know, all these different countries, they all have these different music platforms, right? So it's like Spotify might be something that's, you know, and Apple Music and Google, whatever, it might be like streaming through there, but they use their own much more readily. So that's a big challenge too. And one of the things that has really crossed my mind, especially because of my work in India, is like, what about attaching yourselves to big companies? You know, like what about trying to make deals with private industry? What about trying to make deals with like private companies who put on big festivals or who have famous artists? Like, have you thought about that in regards?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it works on a couple of levels, I suppose. I mean, certainly from Focus Wales perspective, you know, at this point in the journey, you know, over 10 years into what we're doing, we have a number of private sector sponsors who've come to us and said, look, we do this, or, you know, we you know, whether it's music tech companies or whether it's like drink brands or whatever, you know, they're conversations that we have more naturally. But I do see more and more artists, whether or not it's just getting like a gear sort of sponsorship, so that, you know, they've got some sponsoring on guitars or strings or whatever. I think that the concept of doing that is less alien. And it's increasingly less alien to artists than, say, what it was 5 or 6 years ago. Whereas I think, you know, artists would be, I don't know, it would seem like unbecoming of them to take some sort of like commercial sponsorship. But I think, you know, the way the music industry has gone, I think those conversations are naturally going to happen. And it's for artists to choose for them, you know, if opportunities are presented, or, you know, they're going to go and explore what potential sponsors are out there and backers of their projects are out there, you know, which of them are in line ethically with what they're about, you know, that don't sort of jar with, you know, everything they're about. There was a famous one with a Welsh band, the Super Furry Animals, and they turned down an advert. I'm pretty certain it was a Coca-Cola advert, and they were offered something like £1 million, I believe, in like, I don't know, kind of like the peak of their highness, because they were one of the Creation Records bands. So, you know, they came through the same label structure as like Oasis and Primal Scream and all these bands that went to have quite sizable international followings. And, you know, at the time, yeah, they were forever getting, you know, top five UK albums and singles at the time when people were buying a lot of records. So they were at a pretty decent profile. Yeah. And they turned that down famously because, you know, they would never, I mean, I'm sure they would still say the same now, to be honest with you. They would turn that down, it being that particular brand that doesn't align with them. You know, they wouldn't be satisfied with taking a sponsorship from that particular company. But like, you know, that's maybe an extreme example of it. But I do think artists will have hard choices because I think they need to look at all the revenue streams that are open to them. You know, you mentioned YouTube and how sort of overlooked that is by artists. And you're right, you know, there's, I know a number of people who earn a living from YouTube, and it's genuinely an option that's there. It's open to artists, for all creatives really, to, you know, generate the subscribers and, you know, monetize your videos, generate a regular income that can sustain you in this industry. But like, yeah, private sector sponsors, I think it's going to be conversations that artists are going to have more and more. And, you know, music managers, I think we'll be exploring it more and more as we go forward. But I can't think of too many, to be honest, right now, beyond instrument sponsorships, some clothing sponsorships. But it's more like, you know, free swag for a lot of these artists.
Yeah, because I thought about, I mean, like the original story, I mean, like of the original rock star, like even like Elvis Presley, let's say. I mean, the whole marketing campaign from, I mean, his, I mean, what was the guy's name who was managing him? The Colonel or something they called him. You know, he spent like $1 million. And I mean, $1 million in 1940, whatever, would be like, you know, 50 million now. But he spent $1 million putting his face in every gas station and restaurant bathroom, you know, and that was how he marketed Elvis all over the United States. And I mean, some of the, you know, the thing is, I mean, we live in a world that's globalization. There's companies, certain companies that are everywhere in the world. And I've often thought about that, like, especially like being in Taiwan and seeing how many 7-Elevens there are here. And I thought, like, imagine doing like a 7-Eleven tour as a folk artist, you know, like you would just have like three, you know, you could like literally tour every day for a year.
But yeah, I mean, it'd take you in certain parts of Korea, it'd take you a long time to get off the street, wouldn't it? It's just, like so many 7-Elevens.
But the thing is, so many people are going in there, and I wonder if there's some way of collecting people on a QR code. Anyways, it's just kind of like all these different ideas because it's just a different world. And I do believe that the physical world and the digital world have to participate together in some fashion, you know, because it just goes to show, like, sometimes if an artist has a number of, you know, let's say followers in Spotify of a region, it doesn't really tell you that they're going to have that many, or say a certain percentage of people that show up to their show, right? So the thing I'm thinking about is how to, you know, how these two different worlds can kind of acclimatize to each other where there's more of a reality, you know? And I think that's some of the challenges we're going to be facing is trying to bind those two realities together in a way that, you know, it makes sense and it's clearly visible to understand, you know, demographics. So Andy, tell me, like, where are we headed for 2022 and beyond?
Well, I mean, for the latter part of this year, you know, we're encouraged that we're going to be able to deliver our festival in October. The government have just eased restrictions on indoor shows. And, you know, the direction of travel is really positive. It looks like we'll have the majority of the UK population fully vaccinated by end of July, start of August. So it's encouraging signs. But I can certainly see, you know, going a little further forward, certainly for the next couple of years, I think we're going to have to live with, you know, the use of masks, certainly guidance, if not written into law, for indoor shows. And, you know, there's going to be an element of risk mitigation for a good while yet. But like, you know, I'm encouraged that there's light at the end of the tunnel and, you know, we're going to be able to get our festivals back. I feel like people can start to think positively again. And yeah, I mean, that's certainly where I'm at this point at the time of recording. You know, things definitely look way more positive than they have in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, the United States, I mean, I have friends in the United States who are, their festivals are on. I mean, there's bands that are touring full on now. you know, as far as we're knowing, we're hearing about Sweden, that like Sweden is, they're planning on being open, fully open by the end of August. But I think what we're still looking at in Orbro is that we're going to be still looking at a hybrid event. Most like, I mean, obviously just in, you know, that in case, like there'll be live shows inside of the city and such. And if international acts and international delegates are wanting to go there, yes, but we're going to be keeping it like, you know, it's a lot online and just kind of like whoever can kind of get in for the live. But it sounds like you guys are way ahead of the curve and things are going quite well there. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Like 70% of over 3 million people is, I mean, that's, you know, that's really tackling the issue, right? So,
yeah, I mean, we're encouraged. So like but at the same time, we just like take it day by day. And, you know, it's been like a year and a half of not quite disappointing news, you know, and, you know, on the regular. So like we're constantly ready for bad news, but like, but at the same time, it's like, you know, we definitely are progressing here. And I think there's lots of reasons to feel encouraged and hopeful for the future. And, you know, I just certainly can see like a very sort of productive 2022 in terms of the live sector and, you know, getting artists back out there. So, yeah, just fingers crossed, isn't it, that, you know, that we can all work through it, because it's not just about the UK sort of, you know, managing to work this. Every nation needs a decent vaccine rollout. Every nation needs their own sort of policies for like reopening international travel. And, you know, there needs to be synchronicity between everybody. So hopefully the powers that be can work out a plan over the coming months and the year ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, that's the kicker, I guess. It's like when all this happened, it was such big news and it's, and everyone's talking about it, but it's like as things progressively get good, it just becomes more and more quiet. So it's not even like, you know, like you think that after a big challenge, it's going to be this big fiesta, but it's just like happening in certain parts of the world. And you kind of got to keep your eyes on it to, you know, to find out what's happening. So, but hopefully, like, you know, I mean, the rest of the world will follow suit with Wales as well and kind of catch up to what's going on. But, you know, thanks a lot for joining me, Andy. And thanks a lot for, you know, giving in-depth answers and sharing, you know, the wealth of your knowledge. And I think there's a lot of good information here that, you know, I'll definitely come back and look on in the future as well. So thanks, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And, you know, anytime, and, you know, hopefully we can welcome, you know, start welcoming people to Wales, certainly from October onwards, hopefully.
All right, Andy. Well, you take care and I'll be in touch then.
Cheers, bud.
Okay. Cheers, man.